Let's go back to 1980. You know what I'm talking about. The neon lights, the sounds of quarters dropping into arcades, the thrill of a game. Any guesses?
Ah, the birth of a legend. Blinky, Pinky, Inky, Clyde, and the hero of the game, the relentless dot-chomping Pac-Man.
Indeed, the pixelated maestro of mazes that redefined the gaming industry, sending shockwaves through pop culture at large and stamping its mark on societal norms. Who saw that coming?
I remember when I first laid eyes on that little yellow circle on the arcade screen, gobbling dots and evading colorful ghosts. All the while, little did I know, I was participating in a gaming revolution.
It's more than just a game, isn't it? It almost forced people to rethink the definition of a video game.
True. Simplicity meshed with a unique concept. A maze, some ghosts, a hero with an insatiable appetite for dots. Who knew?
But it wasn't just that. It's the way it infiltrated everyday life. You would see Pac-Man-inspired clothing, hear music influenced by its arcade bleeps and bloops, or even see people discussing the gameplay in cafes and restaurants.
Correct, Robert. And to cover all this, we'll need to dive into the inception, the history, and the mechanics of Pac-Man. So, get ready, everybody, as we embark on a journey to the heart of Pac-Man's universe.
But what drove the creation of Pac-Man? It emerged from a simple yet new idea in Japanese game industry.
Indeed, Christopher. The mind behind this groundbreaking game was Toru Iwatani, a young designer at Namco, a Japanese company. His goal was to create a game that would appeal to women as well as men, a leap away from the violent, male-targeted games that were popular back then.
So this guy thought, all right, people enjoy eating, right? Then came the inception of Pac-Man, literally inspired by a pizza with a missing slice. Pac-Man was born from the Japanese word paku, which means to eat.
However, before Pac-Man hit the shores of America, Pac-Man needed a name transformation due to the worry that some mischievous types would change the P to an F on the machines. That's when the global icon Pac-Man was born.
A game about eating, named after a pizza. Who would have thought that would redefine the entire gaming industry?
And the immense popularity. More than the unique idea, the success laid in the emotions it evoked. It introduced fear, pursuit, and most importantly, the joy of consuming. Yet, can we talk about the way it never ended? Just more levels, faster ghosts. That was revolutionary.
Indeed, Chaelin. An endless game. The thrill of being pursued. The satisfaction of turning the tables by eating power pellets. It all contributed to an addictive gaming experience that did not revolve around violence, but strategy and quick reflexes.
The perfect concoction of simple design, unique gameplay, and universal appeal. This is what skyrocketed Pac-Man to international fame, and it seems that the fever never truly subsided. All right, let's talk design. In terms of aesthetics, Pac-Man really stands out with its simplicity. No intricate backgrounds or flashy sprites, just a yellow circle, a black background and four colorful ghosts. Anyone remember how much that bright yellow used to catch your eye at the arcade, or was that just me?
It wasn't just you, Robert. And let's not forget the maze design, it was so integral part of Pac-Man. And the thrill of navigating those narrow corridors.
Absolutely. That's a fantastic point, Chaelin. Think of the layout. While we all think of it as iconic now, there wasn't really anything like it at that time. Most arcade games were focused on reaching the end of a level or shooting down enemies, but Pac-Man had no end. You just kept going for a higher score with no finish line in sight.
Exactly, Christopher. The layout of the maze, the bright, simplistic design of the characters, and even the sound effects were distinct and fun, which just added to its appeal. Pac-Man showed the world that video games didn't need to be overly complicated to be entertaining and addictive.
Agree with you there, Robert. And you know, the impact of this simple yet addictive design was massive. The gaming industry, pre and post Pac-Man, those are two different worlds.
The difference is remarkable. Pac-Man demonstrated that games could be engaging without violence or complex controls, opening up a much wider audience to video games. The popularity of this one game led more people to arcades, inspired a slew of merchandise, and even influenced future game design. And who can forget the Pac-Man fever? Simple as it was, Its cultural impact is undeniable.
Didn't you guys find the ghosts' AI fascinating in Pac-Man? When I learned about the unique behavior of each one of them, I got more hooked to this game.
Oh, definitely. It's not as simple as it seems. Each ghost has a specific strategy, with Blinky chasing Pac-Man, Pinky trying to ambush him, Inky using a mix of chasing and ambushing, and Clyde, well, he was the wild card.
I didn't know that. Is that why I always had trouble with Inky?
Probably, yes. Each ghost had a particular behavior, which required different tactics and strategies to tackle. For such a seemingly simple game, the complexity was mind-blowing.
And don't forget about the power pellets. The moment you eat one and the ghosts change color, you can hear your heart thumping.
Yes, it was always a rush. I often kept the power pellets for when I felt cornered. What about you, Christopher?
Well, it varied. Sometimes I would strategically gather them all at once and cause a huge point surge. Other times, it was playing defensive, trying to escape the ghosts. That's the beauty of Pac-Man, the fluid strategy.
And that brilliance shaped the foundation of future game design, for sure. You just need to look at any top-down or maze-based game today to see traces of Pac-Man filling your screen.
Agreed. Its influence on the gaming landscape is remarkable. Those chasing mechanics, simple design, and adrenaline-inducing gameplay have set the standards for all successful games that came after it.
It's just amazing how a game as simple as Pac-Man could set the pillar for engaging gameplay. Wouldn't it be great if we get more games that draw inspiration from it? Remember that distinct and simple maze layout of Pac-Man?
Oh yes, how could we forget? The random walls, the power pellets at corners.
And the central prohibited area for Pac-Man, but not for the ghosts.
Exactly. Most maze games of the time were either fixed and repetitive, or were always changing. Pac-Man, however, struck gold with its simple yet never-changing maze design.
It almost became an arena for the epic clash between Pac-Man and the ghosts. With every turn, there was potential for a new strategy, a new outcome.
That's an interesting point, Robert. Despite the surroundings being static, the dynamism was in the gameplay itself. It kind of flipped the script on arcade games.
I've always wondered, though, why were those power pellets placed specifically at corners?
Game strategy, actually. Having power pellets in the corners means players are often forced to navigate danger to reach them. It added more complexity to the mechanics.
And think about the mirroring design. Even though the right side was a mirror image of the left, due to the varying speeds of Pac-Man and the ghosts, each half felt different.
All these elements, the power pellets, mirrors, central area, really elevated a simple maze game. I'm curious how future games integrated these in their design.
Many tried, but few achieved the same result. Maze games post Pac-Man began to focus more on gameplay, ensuring that dynamism wasn't solely from the changing surroundings, but from players' decisions.
That's what continues to make Pac-Man special even decades later. The game changed how we looked at arcade games. It wasn't about what was changing on screen, but how you reacted to those changes.
So, let's delve into the fascinating world of Pac-Man's endearing characters. Robert, you mentioned earlier about the four ghosts. I mean, Blinky, Pinky, Inky, Clyde. Who could ever forget them?
Ha, the very soul of the game, the ghosts. Each ghost had its own unique attribute. Blinky, the red one, was also known as Shadow, as it shadows Pac-Man around the maze. Blinky gets faster as the game progresses, quite a terror. Pinky, the pink ghost, was known as Ambusher. He didn't chase Pac-Man, but instead tried to predict where Pac-Man would go and move to that place beforehand. He was my nemesis, you know.
Remember Inky? The cyan-colored ghost was called Bashful. He's a tricky one to predict. His moves depended on both Pac-Man's location and Blinky's location, making him quite unpredictable. And then there was Clyde, the orange one, known as the Random Wanderer. Instead of directly chasing Pac-Man, he would randomly choose a corner to move towards after a certain distance from Pac-Man.
Absolutely. Such dynamic character design has not been seen before in games of that time. This sort of individual behavior made them feel more like characters than enemies, adding a unique flavor to the game. The creators managed to transform simple AI designs into memorable personalities.
Pac-Man itself, this yellow munching machine, was also quite iconic. Its simplistic design and uncomplex backstory made it easy for every player to relate. The character design was as compelling as it was simple. It was all about maneuvering from one situation to another, gobbling up pellets while dodging the distinctive ghosts.
It's fascinating how the game created a sense of unpredictability and adrenaline with just these simple characters and their behaviours. Now, every time I play, I think about how each ghost has its own life, if you will. It makes you appreciate the detailed thought process behind such game designs.
Speaking of achievements, the milestones and records set by Pac-Man are legendary.
Absolutely. The first one that comes to mind is its entry into the Guinness World Records.
Yes, Pac-Man was recognized in 2005 by Guinness World Records as the most successful coin-operated game. It's astounding, the kind of fervor it commanded in the arcades.
Considering the time, it was quite a feat. And there's more than that, right?
Yes, Pac-Man also holds the world record for largest Pac-Man game. Introduced at the International Association of Amusement Parks and Attractions Expo in 2014, it's almost four times the size of a standard arcade cabinet. And let's not forget Billy Mitchell. He achieved the perfect Pac-Man game in 1999, scoring 333,260 points. He ate every possible pellet, fruit, and ghost for 256 levels, without a single mistake.
Just thinking about that kind of precision and patience is mind-boggling. It's amazing how much dedication players have towards this game.
That's just the nature of Pac-Man. It's a game that urged everyone who played to do better, to reach for those record-breaking highs. I wonder what kept Billy going.
Can't speak for Billy, but I'd say it's not just about the records. It's the love for the game that has stood the test of time.
Not limiting its triumph to setting records, Pac-Man also crossed the incredible billion-dollar milestone.
That's right. It was the first game to ever generate over $1 billion in quarters, proving its undying popularity.
That's a significant amount for an arcade game, and this happened within less than a decade of its launch. Quite groundbreaking, if you ask me.
It's a testament to how deeply embedded Pac-Man had become in the culture. It was more than just a game. It was an experience that brought people together. Do you guys remember what it was that made the game so addictive?
I think it was a combination of the visually pleasing graphics, simple yet challenging mechanics, and the rush of pursuing high scores. Christopher, what's your take?
Apart from those elements, I'd also credit the competitive aspect of the game. You wanted to beat your friend's high score. You wanted to beat your own high score. You kept on pumping in quarters for that next adrenaline rush.
True, I remember how intense those high score chases could get. It's this perpetual pursuit for a higher score that fueled the game's billion-dollar feat.
It's mesmerizing looking back at it. While we're at it, let's not forget its cultural significance. Pac-Man surely has engraved its name in the history of gaming with these glorious moments.
Absolutely. It's these triumphant moments that reiterate Pac-Man's importance, not only as a game but as an icon that transcended boundaries, creating an unparalleled history in gaming culture.
Pac-Man's dominance didn't end in arcade machines. It virtually swallowed pop culture whole. Do you recall any specific instances where Pac-Man surfaced in music, Chaelin?
Definitely. There was that Pac-Man Fever song by Buckner Imp Garcia from 1982, which quite literally put the game to music. It became kind of an anthem for the arcade generation.
Yes, you're right. That infectious tune was actually inspired by the game's wide popularity and was such a hit, it even made it onto the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
In fact, beyond music, Pac-Man even ventured into television. Y'all remember the animated series, Pac-Man the Animated Series? It ran for two seasons and brought Pac-Man to life, introducing him and the ghosts into hilarious and relatable situations.
Oh, absolutely. I love the fact that it just took the game and infused it with stories. Pac-Man wasn't just about dodging ghosts and collecting pellets anymore. He was a character with a personality we could root for.
True, Robert. Not to forget, it also had significant impact on merchandise and branding. Pac-Man-themed t-shirts, mugs, keychains, it was everywhere. It was a cultural phenomenon that reinvented arcade gaming into a mainstream hobby. Christopher, what's your take on merchandise?
No denying that, Chaelin. Pac-Man's branding was ingenious. It not only included the typical video game merchandise, but also household items, toys, clothing lines, and more. Brands were associating themselves with Pac-Man to capitalize on its universal appeal. The simplicity of the character design made it ripe for commercialization. It was more than a game. Pac-Man became a symbol of pop culture.
Pac-Man Fever. The name says it all, doesn't it? We know how Pac-Man became a pop culture icon, but let's delve deeper into its societal impact. How exactly did this game influence the emergence of a global gaming culture?
That's an interesting question, Robert. I believe Pac-Man, with its simple yet addictive gameplay, was one of the first games to break the stereotype of gaming being limited to a particular demographic. It appealed to everyone, irrespective of age or gender, and even to those who weren't typically into gaming before. I think this inclusivity sparked the beginning of a truly international gaming culture.
I agree, Chalen. Do you think that the inclusivity of Pac-Man also stirred enthusiasm in game development?
Definitely, Robert. Pac-Man's popularity demonstrated that with an innovative idea and intuitive gameplay, a game could reach a wide audience. It inspired developers to create games that were not just technologically advanced, but also accessible and appealing to people of different backgrounds.
Speaking of stir, Pac-Man didn't escape societal critique, did it, Christopher?
Right, Robert. Despite its success, Pac-Man faced some backlash too. There were concerns about arcade games leading to problems like addiction and neglect of responsibilities. These critiques, nevertheless, fueled conversations about responsible gaming and even led to revisions in gaming regulations.
Looking back, it's amazing how Pac-Man managed to infiltrate not only our homes but also our societal norms and discussions, don't you think?
Absolutely, Robert. It's the power of a simple yellow circle, or Pac-Man as we fondly know him.
But when we talk about Pac-Man fever, it's crucial to remember that it wasn't just a trend. It transformed gaming into a global, cross-cultural phenomenon. Can you imagine how it would have felt during the peak?
Actually, I sure can, Robert. In Korea, the Pac-Man was everywhere. Arcade rooms were packed, with lines stretching out the door. You could hear that waka-waka sound echoing through the city streets. Go anywhere and you'd see people playing on home consoles too. Did that happen in the US as well, Christopher?
You bet, Chalen. Arcades became the hubs of social life for youngsters. It was electrifying. The high scores were like badges of honor. Neighbors and classmates were competing with each other, seeking to beat the latest high score. The warmth of these shared experiences created communal bonds, even within the competitive environment. Robert, as a market analyst, what's your take on this?
Pac-Man not only had an economic impact, it was a social catalyst too. It transformed arcades into vibrant, bustling community spaces. Once people gathered around these machines, the familiar sights and sounds of Pac-Man somehow dissolved the barriers and brought people together. It's a testament to the powerful influence of gaming, wouldn't you say, Chalen?
Absolutely, Robert. I believe Pac-Man cut across the rigid barriers of age, gender, and language. It didn't matter if you were a kid, a teenager, or an adult. It didn't matter whether it was men, women, girls, or boys huddled around the console. The allure of Pac-Man was irresistible, and it's this universal and inclusive charm that made the game an essential catalyst in shaping a global gaming culture.
Do you guys remember playing Pac-Man for the first time?
Well, to be honest, I was too young when I first tried Pac-Man. In truth, it was launched before I was born. But I remember my elder brother was obsessed with it. He would not even let me near the PC when he was playing. But eventually, I got my hands on it, and you know the funny part? I managed to score higher than him. I mean, even a Pac novice like me. By the time I became a pro, he had conceded and was notorious for saying that Pac-Man was too simple for him. He had moved on to other PC games.
Ah, that's a classic sibling story. I was always the big brother in my household. So I called the shots on the gaming console. I was a Pac-Man enthusiast. The adrenaline rush of chasing those ghosts, those were the days. My favorite part was navigating through those winding mazes, almost as if in a trance. The simplest things would thrill us back in the days. No AAA titles or VR experiences to distract us. Just a small yellow character gorging on dots and ghosts. simple, pure, and yet so endearing. It was like a rite of passage playing Pac-Man.
Interesting. Pac-Man for me began as a technological fascination. I was amazed by the AI behavior implemented in the title. It felt like an adventure, full of strategy and foresight, outmaneuvering the ghosts, especially Blinky. Man, that was thrilling. The game had a certain excitement when the ghosts were closing in. You knew you were just a step away from being trapped, but then you reach a power pellet in the nick of time, and suddenly, you're chasing the ghosts instead. It was like a story with the tables turning, chasing and being chased. Do you think the game's unpredictability added to its charm?
Absolutely, Christopher. The thrill of never knowing how the game would turn out. Would you be chased or become the chaser? That was the charm of it all. Each game was a new adventure.
You're spot on, Christopher. You never knew what was coming next. It was as if the ghosts had a mind of their own. That's why, even today, Pac-Man holds an iconic place in many hearts. It was more than just a game. This might surprise you guys, but did you know that Pac-Man was originally called Puck-Man in Japan?
No way, really. I haven't heard that.
Yes, it's true. But the name was changed to Pac-Man when it was brought to the United States. Apparently, they were worried that vandals might change the P in Puck-Man to an F.
Interesting. And speaking of obscure stuff, do you guys remember the 256th level of Pac-Man?
You mean the infamous level that ends in a half-drawn screen glitch?
Yes. It's sometimes called the split-screen level, or the kill screen. There are fewer pellets available right off the bat, and if you collect all the pellets present, the level doesn't end. But instead, the other half of the screen is covered with garbled text. It was a bug that occurred due to an integer overflow error. Can you believe it? One of the most iconic games of all time wasn't properly tested to make sure players could actually beat every level.
That's hilarious. Goes to show nobody's perfect. This technologic twist makes the game more intriguing, don't you agree?
Absolutely. Adding surreal elements can make a difference. Besides, it's a token for hardcore players to brag about witnessing that famous glitch.
Would you believe Pac-Man made its very first appearance in an American pop song?
Oh, really? You don't say.
It's true. Buckner and Garcia released a song called Pac-Man Fever back in 1981. It's catchy, filled with arcade sound effects and all about navigating the mazes. It made quite a wave on the Billboard Hot 100 chart as well.
I would have never guessed that.
Speaking of chart toppers, who among our listeners knew that Pac-Man was the first video game character to get its own balloon in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
That's quite an achievement. Was it the first and only video game character to have that honor?
Not the only one, but definitely the first. In 1983, Pac-Man truly floated into hearts across America.
It seems like we keep learning something new about this amazing game.
Let's shift gears a bit. I've seen a couple of interesting listener queries coming in. Robert, do you mind if I relay one to you?
Please, go ahead.
A listener is asking about Pac-Man strategy. They want to know whether there's a foolproof way to avoid the four ghosts.
Of course, that's a great question. Well, there are several strategies one can perform depending on their skill level. However, the simplest thing to remember is the behavior of each ghost. For instance, Blinky, the red ghost, chases Pac-Man most of the time, whereas Inky and Pinky try to position themselves in a certain way relative to Pac-Man. Clyde, the orange ghost, moves randomly, which makes him unpredictable. Understanding these behaviors will greatly increase your chance of survival.
Also, don't forget the corners. They can be your friend. Ghosts can't turn as fast as Pac-Man, so by cutting the corners, you can even create some necessary distance between Pac-Man and a pursuing ghost.
As we approach the end of today's nostalgic trip, it's time to listen to your experiences with Pac-Man.
Indeed. I see several listeners sharing their personal high scores, which are very impressive.
I see one here claiming to have almost perfected the game. That's remarkable dedication. Christopher, do you know what the highest ever score on Pac-Man was?
I believe Billy Mitchell, an American gamer, achieved the first perfect Pac-Man game with a score of 3,360 points. It's virtually impossible to beat.
That's simply mind-boggling. Let's also chat about some unique game strategies our listeners used while playing.
One listener shares, Always eat the ghosts when you get the power pellet. In later stages, they're worth more than the dots. Interesting approach, isn't it, Robert?
Absolutely. Prioritizing ghosts after getting a power pellet might be a clever approach considering the risk-reward ratio. And to wrap up, let's share some of the audience's favorite Pac-Man pop culture references.
Here's a listener who couldn't get enough of the Saturday morning Pac-Man cartoon.
And here's one who collected all the Pac-Man trading cards. Talk about devotion.
It's heartening to observe such enduring love for the game. That concludes our episode on Pac-Man. Thank you all for joining us.